This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Senator Penny Wong. You're listening to Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Lovely to have you with us on this broadcast. Hello to Gordon.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time it is that you're listening to this.
Thank you indeed, Gordon. And Phil.
And Phil now.
We've got a history program of magnificence to share with you, hopefully, today.
Oh, aren't we doing the usual format?
Have we changed, have we?
Oh, there's going to be some comical items in there, but there's a lot of tragedy involved at the moment.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah, so I hope we don't depress you too much, indeed. But history is full of items that have happened, but sometimes history is in the making. And we're at about that point of time, I think, here in Australia, where history is being made. Not sure of the outcome.
Do you reckon it really will be made?
Well, each day, it adds to the total storyline.
We'll either be joining the rest of the world or making ourselves look totally ridiculous by voting no.
You're not wrong there, Philip. Yes, it's a vote to... It really has to happen to make everybody in Australia equal, because at the moment, there was on the television the other night, there were 43,000 couples in the last census that say they're gay, in gay relationships. So that's 86,000 people, you know.
Yes, but before we keep going on this particular topic, can I sort of just pull back and say that there's more happening in the world at the moment in the way of history in the making than our little private personal circumstances.
Yeah, because you've got two haircuts fighting over who's got the best one, haven't you?
Yes, yeah.
I don't think it's haircuts they're comparing personally, but...
Well, it's egos, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're talking about North Korea and POTUS, President of the US.
Who refers to himself as President Trump. He speaks about it in the third person. I really worry about people who do that.
I haven't noticed that. That's only because I self-censor and I turn the TV off.
He should really be ashamed right now, because after that tragedy at the rally opposing white supremacists,
yes,
where this guy ran his car into the crowd, and Trump would not condemn the white supremacists.
So they knew who it was, but he didn't say the name, would he?
Well, no, wasn't that... He basically said, look, there's wrong on both sides. I don't know if that's his attempt to defuse the situation, but everybody else is saying these are not locals. They came here to protest, and you know, it's just I realize he went after these people in the election and they voted him in, but it's not being politically correct to condemn people who hate based on race and color. And it's just...
But Phil, it's the way he was elected and what he was saying during his election that has allowed these people to do what they're doing.
He's recharged their
their cause. That's exactly
and
right.
And not condemning them for a horrible act is repulsive.
It is. It's basically giving them the okay to go and keep doing it.
Well, they're seeing a green tick.
Yeah.
They say, well, that worked.
That worked, yeah. But it's just, you wonder where the mind of the basic American person is when they do these things. Why? It just, of course, in the deep South where they are, there's always been this thing about African Americans. They've hated
them. Well, they're still fighting the Civil War
down
there. That's
right, yeah. Yeah, well, that was Robert Lee's statue that they were going to pull down that caused the whole thing to happen.
But you've got to remember, there is no basic American person.
Isn't there?
No, there are 51 states of individuals. 50 states of individuals.
Yeah, and if it was Europe, there'd be 50 different countries.
Yeah.
So it's... I think Australians, we probably relate to the Californians down south, Well, I guess you've got Northern Queensland to relate to them. But where there, apparently there are no homosexuals in those electorates.
That's right.
According
yes.
to the experts.
Yeah, there was a program that I watched on television about somebody driving across America, and when they had to drive down in the deep south, they had to have a pink car with sort of rainbows on it or something or other, and they were getting run out of town in almost every place they went, and they were just driving through anyhow. It was some English chap that did it. I can't remember the name of it.
Stephen Fry.
No, it wasn't Stephen Fry. It was one of the blokes out of that car show.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. Okay.
You know the one I'm talking about? Yes. I can't remember what it was, but it was something like that. And they were basically getting run out of town because they drove a pink car with like a gay number plate
they
or something.
They are antagonising.
They were stirring up the dogs.
Yes.
They wondered what the reaction would be.
Well, of course, North Korea hasn't actually been challenged up until about this point, and they're going on their merry way. That was their stated aim, to be a nuclear power.
But you've also got to remember that up until now, I think that behind the scenes politics was going into action with people actually talking, so that they were. You can have all the bluster and bluff you want to, but behind it, there's possibly the negotiations going on between
the diplomatic corps. But Trump says diplomacy failed, so he's just coming out and slapping him on the face.
Yeah, that's probably right.
That's a wise decision. That's poke the bear. But another really gem of a comment from Mr. Trump, talking to the governor of Guam, he said, "This will be great for tourism."
Yeah.
Right, come and see where Guam used to be.
Yes. But I had, there was a wonderful explanation of what Guam was on the television this morning. It was America's unsinkable aircraft carrier. because it's an island, it can't sink, but it's all full of aircraft.
Have a listen to the local accents on Guam. My ex-partner was born on Guam, and I've spent a very little bit of time there. And there was, actually it was his uncle. I think he was running for senator. And one of his speeches was talking about tourism, and he says, "We've got beautiful bitches here."
Bitches.
Referring to beaches.
Sound a bit like New Zealander.
Oh. It was hilarious.
Sorry about that. Yes, all right then. Well, now we can get back to our own local situation, our own little crisis.
It's not a little crisis.
Well, it is, Chris, a big crisis. It's a crisis in our gay world.
For a lot of people.
And for a lot of people and our gay world and our allies. Now, social media seems to be the flavour of the month for POTUS, but also I think social media is going to be the way we can expect the arguments to be run this time round.
Well, I think it could be because every time I've opened up my Facebook page, there's people have been photographed with a rainbow flag underneath them and marriage equality or love is love. Even my sister and her husband have got theirs photographed. They got their photograph that they had taken outside the church where they were married in St Kilda, which is now falling down. They're trying to raise money to renovate church. And they've got the rainbow flag and everything there. And my sister has been urging all her grandchildren to get on the roll so that they can vote, because they do have a gay uncle and a gay auntie.
Yeah.
But the downside of social media is that's where the trolls live.
Yes, that's true.
And they are uncensored, and they also feel uncatchable and can say the most hateful things.
Mm.
And now they've got a whole bunch of new targets.
Well, they have, but you fight fire with fire.
But do you think that we should fight that sort of fire with fire? Because
if we're respectable in the approaches we make, then that just keeps showing them up as being nasty ones.
That's what I was getting at. Should we lower ourselves to their level? We should stay above that sort of thing, and just argue our arguments cogently and with great force and ability, you know, but not screaming and shit.
I've got a question from a different angle. If the government's not going to give me equal rights, why should I be paying equal tax?
Exactly right.
I want a refund.
For
every day that I'm not allowed the opportunity to marry, you know, I'm missing out. It's not an equal society.
Well, Philip, for years, anybody that's been single and gay has been paying tax to keep children in school.
Yeah.
Hospitals open, new babies to be born. We've been paying all this tax out over the generations for that we've been around the place and getting nothing back for it.
We've been funding breeders.
That's right. But you've got to remember that without homosexual couples, there's no gays.
You mean straight couples?
Oh, straight couples. Yeah, speaking of heterosexual couples, there's no gays. Yes,
that's right.
Without them, we didn't exist. So don't blame us. Blame our parents.
Yeah, but the no vote is campaigning against equality.
Of course they are.
Now, equality certainly stopped being cool in the 1960s, or inequality.
Inequality did, yeah.
And the same arguments that were used against the African Americans back in the 60s, those same things are, like now, you know, we don't want them in our neighbourhood, or, you know, I'm moving out if they move into town. The same sort of arguments, and saying, well, no, don't give them equal rights.
Because that's what it all that's what it comes down to, isn't it? It's just equal rights for everybody, making us equal to the rest of Australia.
Well, it's a fair go, and be fair dinkum. Where's all these Australianisms when you need them?
Yeah, well, they're used in other ways, Philip, and not in the way that they're meant to be. Mm. But then when you've got people standing up and saying that the children of this of gay and gay parents are the new stolen generation is an absolute abomination. That is so rude.
Well, that's just proof that ignorance will never die.
Yeah.
There's always going to be people there so out of touch.
Well, all these people, I have the one saying, you can't put brains in monuments.
Yeah, I'd agree entirely with that one. Thanks, Gordon. Stay tuned, because after our break, we'll be talking about a couple of chroniclers of recent gay history. And it's useful that a lot of our gay histories, are written down and referenced, and that people can go and look about them in future weeks. And I suppose in some ways we're hoping that someone will be chronicling our current circumstances here in Australia, because we need to refer to it in future years for sure. That's right. You're on Joy 94.9, Been There, Done That, with Gordon, Phil and Chris. We've got Madonna coming up with a piece of music. She wants us to jump. Well, we want you to jump to and register if you're not already on the electoral rolls.
24th of September, you have 24th of August, when you have to register by. So get out there and do it.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member.
You're with Chris, Gordon and Phil, Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. We're having a good old chin wag about gay history today, a little bit more so than previous years.
And our current lifestyle, which needs to be changed.
Sorry, our current lifestyle does not need to be changed.
Yes, we do. We need to be able to get married.
Oh, well, if you...
That's a change in lifestyle, I think.
No, that's only if you get married. I just want the option. It's not compulsory.
No, it's not compulsory, but we need the option.
And, of course, coming with that means that all the rules and laws and things that are sitting behind our community, it means that if you are married, it doesn't matter whether you are gay, straight or otherwise, it means that those acts that already have the word married in, start to apply to us.
But there has been a lot of them have been changed in our direction.
Yeah.
There's about 84 of them have already been changed, but there's just that few that goes into, if you're a married person, that actually changes.
But wouldn't it be nice if it just was all the same?
Well, that's what
you
it should be.
To worry about it.
That's what I'm saying. If it's all the same, you see, even now, you see, we've got all these laws that have been passed that gives us certain amounts of privileges, but the one privilege is if your partner that you're not married to becomes very ill, you have no say in what goes on with the thing. But if you're married, you do.
It's by right
of marriage, you do.
But yes,
there's one of the things that doesn't happen at the moment. You are excluded from any decisions like that. So that's one of the laws that will automatically happen when we can marry.
some of the rights that we've all, that we now presume to be automatic to our gay community have earlier been fought for very hard have been achieved.
Yeah.
We know this because we've got a couple of chroniclers who have been telling us in their writings history as it was, as it unfolded. Our history relied on quite a few activists stirring the pot and creating a kerfuffle.
And of course, being writers, they were able to get things into the printed word, which would then be published and be shown and be read, which was a little bit different to the people that would be out there marching on the streets and that sort of thing.
True.
The writing of it is something that is on paper and it stays there.
The first bloke we want to talk about is Randy Schultz, and he was an author. He was born in 1951, not that long ago, on the 8th of August. He's already left this world because he died at the age of 42, but he was a newspaper reporter in an era when newspapers were the form of communication.
Before social media and anything
exactly,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. And before TV newscasts were taken over by Rupert or whatever, and the diversity of opinion was possible. Randy Schultz was a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. And about at that time in California, he started to recognize that AIDS, which was starting to attack the local population, was an important national issue. And in the early 80s, he'd persuaded the Chronicle to let him report on AIDS full time. And his work resulted in the widely acclaimed 1987 book, And the Band Played On, Politics, People and the AIDS Epidemic.
And he had plenty to write about, too,
now,
in those days.
We've got to think about the POTUS of that particular era.
Ronald Reagan.
Yes. Now, Ronald Reagan was a right-winger, and he can be construed as almost an ostrich.
Yeah, well, he's had his head somewhere else, but wasn't on his top of his shoulders.
Well, it was in the sand.
Yes. But he'd never said the word AIDS until almost the last year of his 8 years of being president. He just wouldn't say the word.
No, he was totally indifferent to the medical crisis that was rolling out. And it was just such a crime that needed to be brought to the attention of the population. And this is what Randy did.
The Band Played On was a very, very interesting book. And it was also turned into a play or a film, which was well done, was really well done.
He also wrote for the gay publication, The Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
That magazine is still in production, in print,
yep,
and it's brilliant. It's still current. And also he worked at a TV station in San Francisco, and he was really the city reporter on gay politics and gay issues. He was in such a position of power, of showing a mirror upon reality.
And gay politics in San Francisco at that time was big.
Because all the gays of America were sort of flocking to California because it was and San Francisco in particular, because it was a great place to be.
And in the lack of government funding, it also became the epicenter of private funding.
Yes, yes.
And the KQED, the radio or the television station, is not just San Francisco, it's the entire Bay Area that you get to see that.
Mm.
So that would have been quite a good outlet for him to give our position. Because as we know, there's a lot of people in that area who don't like the gays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Schultz actually wrote a book in 1982, The Mayor of Castro Street, The Life and Times of Harvey Milk.
Yeah, really talking about the behaviour of the local council. Randy did sort of hold the mirror up to the seedy side of gay life as well.
He was right behind the scenes with telling everybody what was going on in the actual AIDS crisis, because he actually died himself just before the antiretrovirals started to hit the market, which was a sorry thing that happened because he was such a good reporter and good writer. Mm.
Joy.
Now, someone else, but someone from the Australian scene, almost a contemporary of Randy Schultz, is Dennis Altman. He's a professorial fellow in human security at La Trobe University. He's a writer and academic. And his first book was Homosexual Oppression and Liberation in 1972.
A very big book to read, because I did read that way back in the 73, I think, when you were able to buy it here in Australia.
Was it the world scene?
It was like an overview of homosexuality, rather than how we've been oppressed for years, how things have changed gradually, how this has happened, how that's happened, and everything. It's a very interesting book. And in the year 2014, about, I think, 14, he rewrote it. He changed some of the things that were in the book that he talked about as what had happened since. And he brought it up to date.
He was able to continue the progression of the storyline.
And I actually had an interview with him here at Joy. He's a wonderful man. He's a great speaker. But it was a very interesting interview. And I actually did read the second one that he wrote about the homosexual oppression and liberation.
Dennis Altman is an active member of organisations that are dedicated to creating a better life for gay people here in Australia. He's on ACON, Australian Council of on AIDS, and other international organisations in the AIDS Society of Asia and the Pacific. And he's also locally involved in our Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives here in Melbourne.
Yes.
And, of course, contributing to the storyline.
Mm. He's a very nice bloke, actually, and it's nice when you talk to him, he can just rattle off things that
facts
have happened.
Facts and figures.
It's just amazing when you ask him questions. Yeah. Nice man, Dennis Altman, and a great gay icon of Australia.
Yeah.
We've got a few
and
of them.
Internationally respected,
well and truly. We've got a few of them. You could take in Justice Michael Kirby too as well.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, yes. Well, he had a couple of words to say recently too. You're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. There's more.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're with Phil, Gordon and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. Now, Phil, we've been talking just previously with Randy Schultz and Dennis Altman, and they were sort of chronicling the history and exposing the reality of the time.
It was sexual history, in a sense, in that it was our community being chronicled. There were many other things happening in the world at the time.
Well, as we know, that if you want to control the truth, you've got to control the story.
I'm going to write that down.
No, or you don't let your enemies write the story.
Or you actually control your communications.
Exactly.
This is the thing. It's the communications that get the stuff out there that they've got to control.
But that's censorship.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's control, such a nice word, where censorship is sort of like, whoa.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think Randy was good that he was able to tell the AIDS story in the US to the US people, especially of California, because he had the guts and foresight and determination and the position or the place or the soapbox from which to do it.
It was literally a matter of life and death, and they didn't have a cure.
Yeah.
Or a treatment even. So the biggest issue he would have had is to communicate and not stigmatise. Well, even now there are issues, like with the Enough campaign. We've got to treat people who are suffering fairly and equally, which I think that started with Princess Diana, actually addressing the subject hands-on.
Yeah. Mm. But one of the casualties in war is the truth.
Well, that's the first casualty of war is truth.
We're seeing that in North Korea, just looping back, and in current POTUS and previous POTUSes as well. And it's quite hard sometimes in war to actually expose the truth.
But we live in a modern world where you can expose massive amounts of truth in an underground manner. So it's not like going through the gate in East Berlin, you know, with the secret microfilm or the documents that you're smuggling out from your enemy.
No.
We have WikiLeaks, which by definition is the portal for the truth to squeeze out from the evil
now,
side.
Julian Assange, the Australian, currently holed up still in the Ecuadorian embassy in London for about 7 or 8 years now, hasn't set a foot outside.
Obviously, there's more truth missing there, which has got him stuck inside.
He was part of the WikiLeaks organisation that managed to expose lots of things of the day-to-day workings of some of the military machines in the world.
And those countries didn't like it, especially the US of A, because they're still after him for what he was able to release. And that's why they tried to get him tried in Sweden for the rape or something or other, and that's sort of fallen by the wayside now. And that's why he can't sort of come out.
Yeah, well, America's trying to shoot the messenger. Mr. Assange didn't steal any emails. He didn't copy any top secret documents. He just allowed the portal for the liberation of truth. And they don't like that.
Someone else who was involved in along that same process was someone that we know by the name of Chelsea Manning. Wasn't always Chelsea Manning.
Bradley Manning was convicted by court-martial in July 2013 of violations of the US Espionage Act and was sentenced to 35 years. He was pardoned by President Obama, and when came out from incarceration, he had already transitioned to Chelsea Manning. What a complicated life. He was one of these people.
WikiLeaker.
A WikiLeaker, indeed, indeed. But a very brave person, because it was quite easy for the powers that be to discover who had released this information. And there he was as the leaker, but also in a very personal, delicate condition.
He did say that he felt that the information that he had to be put out. And that was one of the reasons why he put it out. He said it was just too much of it being kept away from the general public that he was going to put it out there, and that's why he did it.
It would have been a tough call because he also...
He was in the army.
Yeah, but he named names of various operatives, and the government's approach was, well, now you've essentially killed those people. Now, I haven't heard any follow-up on that, so I suspect it didn't happen. But it would have been a really tough decision to see crimes and injustice occurring in the name of war and, well, not private citizens, but American operatives put under threat.
So what was exposed, briefly and quickly, what was exposed in some of these leakages?
Some American drone attacks, which were videotaped by the Americans. Those video files were released. And they are extremely damaging.
They were shots of war zones, and there were associated with these cameras firepower, so that if the camera picked up a target, the firepower could aim at that particular target.
Yeah. And it chronicled the whole process, identifying the targets incorrectly, because this turned out to be international journalists, and their guns, which were actually cameras, and then the shots.
Of them actually being annihilated.
Blown off the planet.
You can see it. It has been shown on television a couple of times, and it was just a shocking thing to do. The blokes are just standing there doing what they would normally do as press photographers, and all of a sudden there's a drone appears at the top of them, photographs them all, and then they just drops a pyong on top of them. Yep.
And you actually hear the soundtrack of the people doing the shooting.
Yeah.
And they obviously have no consideration. They're not shooting at lives.
No.
It's like a video game.
Yeah, that is so bad and sad.
Well, you talk about post-traumatic stress. I guess that's what a lot of people bring back from war.
Yeah. Mm.
Is that detachment from humanity.
Now, Manning went to jail.
Yep, he was found guilty of disseminating.
And spent a long time in jail, during which time he transitioned.
And that's one thing that I will say for Barack Obama. He freed him on the last day of his presidency.
He did get him out
of jail. And I thought, good on you.
Now, Chelsea Manning is an example. No, it just shows bravery in both the public world and the private existence of Private Manning to face the music and walk through the sheets of flame.
Yeah, and he transitioned while he was in jail.
Yeah,
but good on her. But she shows a lot of determination and guts and courage. That's one thing about Chelsea Manning.
But I bet she divided America. You can get two opinions of her.
There would be two. Yeah, well,
you're with Chris, Phil, and Gordon. Been there, done that. Join 94.9. Now, imagine if you had a private medical career and a public sporting career, and then you transitioned. That was the situation for Renee Richards.
who transitioned way back in 76 was it? She was an ophthalmologist, and she transitioned, and she was also a very good tennis player in her male character, and she then became a very good tennis player as a woman.
And there was a big kerfuffle in the sporting administrations.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, can we let this person? Of course, physically she had transitioned by the application of estrogen, actually causes a reduction in muscle strength and muscle bulk more towards the female form.
That's right.
So therefore, couldn't be considered anymore as a male or have the male attributes that he did when he was a tennis player playing as a man.
But the female tennis competitions at the time weren't quite as gracious as yourself.
No.
She played in a few of the minor tournaments and did very, very well. She didn't win every game but she did play in minor tournaments, but she was never allowed to get into the open sort of era of that sort of time.
The controversy was never going to allow
justice. Right, yeah. But she was a very good tennis player as well, and a very pleasant woman too when you heard her being interviewed. She was great. Good on her.
Her profession was as an ophthalmologist. I would imagine that no one would have had a complaint what gender was on the end of the operating instruments there.
No.
Because the quality of the outcome would have been the same.
Exactly. Good luck to her. Good on her. She's still alive, apparently. She's 83 now.
Oh, well and truly retired. What a pioneer. What a brave person to have challenged the thinking of the time, of the world, and, okay, here I am, do your damnedest, because I've got to live
That's why we have to take our hats off to all the people that do transition either way, because it takes a lot of courage, a lot of guts, and a lot of love from the people that really know you.
But imagine the relief afterwards.
Yes.
You've lived your entire life knowing you're in the wrong body, and then you get the right one. That's better than three Christmases at once, I reckon.
You're with Phil, Gordon and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. There's more here on Joy.
Everybody, rock your body. Everybody, rock your body right.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. We're on our last stretch. And we've had such miserable little topics to talk about, but they are fascinating because they are part of our current life. I don't watch any TV anymore. I'm getting a little bit miserable with what's on. And, of course, there's nothing much as an alternative.
Oh, there's still something that can be watched. I mean, I know there's a lot of drivel and things because I'm one of those people that can't watch reality TV because it's not real. It's so scripted.
What?
So scripted.
Oh, it's too real for you.
It's too real.
Imagine all these people on some island out in the Pacific.
Oh, yeah. Like those. Oh,
well, I must confess that I have cast an eye or three against Adam seeking Eve.
Only because you're looking at the blokes. Yes, that's all right.
Yeah. But then I look at the and I think, no, I wouldn't have had any of those anyway. No, thank you.
No, it just
waste of bother.
I've got a wonderful concept for you to consider.
What's that?
Radio.
Oh, yeah, but radio's fine.
If you don't like TV, radio's still around.
Radio's fine, yeah. I can't watch a cooking show because I'm never going to cook that sort of food. To me, it's just there are so many other things more important than watching reality TV. And then you get the adverts in it, of course, which just go on and on and on to forever and a day.
And they're getting so politically correct.
Oh, aren't
that
they?
In the Shoal ads for foot support.
Oh, right.
They show a person simulating a customer, I guess, of the show footwear, and it's got in small print on the screen paid actor.
Oh,
just in case you actually believed that person had better feet now.
I think I remember reading something in America that if an actor is promoting an article, he has had to or they have had to have used it. And then given their basic approval to do the advertising, because if it's proven that they've never used it, they can be sued by people that have bought the product.
That's why if you see a celebrity doing a product endorsement, it will be in another country.
Oh, will it? Oh,
in America, you don't see all the American actors we see here promoting their, their sponsored products.
Yep.
Nobody does it in America.
Yeah, but it's because America are a bit of sewers, aren't they? And I'm not talking...
An interesting word.
Well, they would sue anybody.
Right. Oh, I thought you were meaning the other sort. So,
no, that starts at the top.
And I was tending to agree,
that
but,
starts at the top of the country.
Well, there's a poor little boy who last week in this ad for children going free on Sundays to AFL games, he used to say, if you're a kid like me, you can go free to the football. Well, I heard him yesterday on TV, and he's now got all the terms and conditions that he has to read afterwards. So it's not for every game, and it's not this, and it's not that. It's a poor kid that had to dig him out and make him do a reread.
Oh, no.
Well, that's the thing, you see, because in America he would have been sued.
Yeah, well, see, somebody would have turned up to a game and they said, oh, no, this game's not free. That's all you said on TV. That's where it starts.
Yeah. This is where you have to be very careful what you say if you're in speaking publicly about anything. That's why we have to be careful here.
We do.
We do have to be very careful about how many times we have how much sponsorships we have in an hour. So that's why it's always, it has to be 5 minutes no more in a whole hour. We can sort of do community service announcements, that's fine, but we cannot do more than 5 minutes in the hour, which is great because I was watching a show on television the other night and they went for a break and the break lasted 5 minutes of advertising. Ooh. Oh, and I thought, oh, I just turned it off. I'd never watched commercial television anyhow, but I just turned that off in disgust.
Well, we're allowed to say things on Joy, like if you want to contact us, you can email us at beenthere@joy.org.au.
That's fair enough.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's not an advertising.
No.
It's just telling people where we are.
And if you'd like to make a donation to Joy at any time,
yes,
just go onto the website, joy.org.au.
Click on the banner.
Click on the banner to donate now, and every donation, $2 and over, is tax deductible. That's right. And I know it's a long way to your 2018 tax return, but you may as well remember to get the benefits, because we get the benefit of your money and you can get the benefit of the tax deduction for your tax return.
Keeps us on air, out loud and proud, because you're going to need us in the next couple of months for sure. That is going to be one hell of a thing, because we will be able to keep you update on everything that's going on.
We do live in interesting times.
Which we started off the program talking about interesting times.
Well, we've got a fight that's worth fighting for.
Oh, God, yes.
And it's an opportunity here for us to make our statement and evaluate the size of our statement. If we need to continue the fight later on and in other places and for other reasons, we have a voice and it's a time to run the flag up the flagpole and salute.
I was reading in the paper that even if there is a yes vote comes through, they will not be able to pass the law this year. It'll have to be done next year.
Yeah.
Because by the time they get the information out, they won't have time enough to draft the bill. I would have thought they could have been drafting the bill right now.
Exactly.
While they're waiting for the postal vote to come through. Wouldn't you think that would save a bit of time?
They're too busy promoting the no vote.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, sorry about that. Yes, yeah.
Someone else around about this time, the 2nd of August 1922, he died, and we've got to thank him for the Tefalone.
Oh, yeah, but
Alexander Graham Bell, a Scotsman, but he moved to the US of A.
But what happened from there? We've had the telephone and now we've got a handheld device that you carry everywhere and read while you're on the streets and get in everybody's way.
To be fair, this is going to be a shock to some people that Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. We need to point out Steve Jobs did not invent the telephone.
No, of course he didn't.
No.
He just put it in your hand.
That's right.
And let you take it outside the house.
And the greeting that Bell used upon answering the phone,
ahoy!
It was ahoy, ahoy. Now, somebody else on television at the moment answers the phone that way.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
His name's Montgomery Burns.
Oh, yes, from
and
The Simpsons.
He's the billionaire owner of the nuclear power plant in Springfield.
Oh, is he?
And I can't tell you what state Springfield is in.
No, because there's Springfield in every state of America.
In one episode, there was a best-of program, and it was suggested The Simpsons were from northern Kentucky. But it's never been referred to. It's often referred to them not telling you where it is.
There ain't no northern Kentucky, let's face it.
Well, it's a region.
Hmm. Yeah, but it's not a state.
No.
So there we are.
There was one thing that happened, too, in our history that affected the whole of Victoria.
On the 9th of August, 1851, you're talking
1851,
about?
1851, yep. They discovered gold at Sovereign Hill in Ballarat.
And that's why there's that rebuilt village there.
The Eureka Village.
Indeed, it's brilliant. So if you've not been, you should go and remind yourself of the history of Victoria and how gold created such a wonderful, wealthy state.
Well, Melbourne was the richest city in the world at one stage, at the turn of the 19th century.
Now we've been proved we're the most livable.
Is that what it is?
Haven't got any money anymore. But
no, it's most livable. Yeah. But anyhow, but it would be even more livable when we get to be able to marry the ones we love.
Indeed. We'll hope that you'll join us next week for our last program before we have a few weeks holiday.
Hiatus.
8 weeks or so missing from the airwaves. We'll be back. We'll be back in October after the AGM, which is going to be on the 22nd of October. We'll be back on the 24th.
Oh, will we?
Yes.
Oh, good. I better put that in my diary because I might forget.
Indeed. We'll come back with stories of where we've been and what we've been doing and fully conforming with Been There, Done That. Thanks for being with us. Bye for now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.